Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Bhutan dhamman sangham namassami. So I've been talking quite a lot in these talks about making effort of one kind or another, making effort in the practice, and sought to repeat the fact that this needs to be balanced with an ability to accept these things the way they are. And these two could go together. So in one of the earlier talks in this series, then I was describing this Buddhist attitude to life of you do your best and then whatever happens, happens. And how the meditation, the practice of calming the mind can give us, having a calmer mind means a more patient mind in order to apply this kind of effort. If we lack this kind of patience, then we can always be driving ourselves or frustrated with ourselves. This defeats us, we trip ourselves up through our own efforts. I've come across this over and over again with people in spiritual life, that they end up, their effort turns into standards, and they can get frustrated, some give up altogether, which is very sad. They take up one of they resonate with all the teachers which tell them it's not about making any kind of effort, but then they sell themselves short in that way. There are places we can go, things that we can develop if we apply effort, and ways in which we can help others as well. So we have the strength to do so. Which brings me on to another important principle. The Buddha gave an analogy for this one, to do with acrobats. And so two groups of acrobats came to see the Buddha, two pairs. And the first pair were saying that, I look after my partner and then he looks after me, and doing that and practicing in this way, then we avoid problem. And then the second group of acrobats, second pair, said, well, we practice in a way that, I look after myself first, and in looking after myself, then I look after the other person. If I'm steady and strong, then I can be there for the other person, catch the other person. This is what works. This is what we find works. So to the Buddha, well, which is correct? And the Buddha said, "Oh, the second is correct. In fact, that the second is a model for ourselves in helping ourselves as well as helping others." As helping is that we need to be steady in ourselves, look after ourselves, and that in doing that, then we look after others. If you imagine you're trying to pull somebody out of a mire or something, you know, if you're not strong enough or rooted to the ground, then it just pull you in, and there you are both in the mire, isn't it? So it's the way in which we have to be realistic, take on what we can take on, and make it a priority to keep establishing our own steadiness and centeredness, so that we're there steady and strong for others. Put ourselves in, be idealistic and put ourselves in a situation that we feel that we ought to be able to cope with, or we find that we're not, we're losing it, we're deciding to lose it, you know, then we're not going to be of any help to another person, are we? Just end up causing trouble. So a bit of an emphasis in the Theravada tradition that somebody doesn't teach until they're really ready, until they know something, until they've seen clearly. Otherwise we could just be leading each other astray. So very different from other traditions where the emphasis on service very early on. But if you notice that in these other traditions, the service is of a very simple nature, serving others in simple ways. But the Theravada path is very much a wisdom path. So wisdom leads. Wisdom is the most powerful. Wisdom is the way that we overcome suffering, ultimately. It's the ultimate form of compassion, it's wisdom. So we're encouraged to keep cultivating this and cultivating this until the point at which we really see clearly, and then we can influence a lot of other people through this. You did see the lives of the great masters, the great saints in Thailand. They influenced enormous numbers of other people. It only takes a few to really see through to the essence of the teaching, to make have a huge impact on the rest of the group. Only a few will see that deeply. And often there will be people who have been practicing for a very, very long time, who really put their lives on the line in order to get deep practice, have deep insight. So I really urge you again that the patience is the most important quality. If we put forth effort without patience, then we'll be tripping ourselves up. And yes, we'll be right to take the advice of the teachers who say, make no effort if we can't do this skillfully. And the principal effort that we're looking to make is to clear our minds, to keep our minds clear, seeing clearly. And sometimes this is just a matter of relaxing, allowing the mind to become peaceful. But sometimes it's more a matter of actively cleaning the glasses, so to speak, or cleaning the mirror. So Buddha, Ajahn Chah was asked once, says, by Zen practitioners in the US, when he first went to the US, he said, well, which is true, Ajahn? Is it that the mind is already pure, or is it that the mind needs purifying, we have to purify it? Ajahn Chah said, oh no, it's originally pure, it's completely pure, we just need to clean it up a little bit. The typical kind of Ajahn Chah answer. You know, it's not, you know, it's cutting through something that's been an argument for centuries. So the very simple answer, well, it's already pure, we just need to clean it a little bit. So I'll offer that one for your reflection.